think you want to go on a missions trip, you might want to think again. If you don't want to be covered in dust and paint pretty much all day, and if at the end of the day you don't want to clean up in a shower that may alternately put out scalding hot water or ice cold water, and which might flow hard enough to peel skin or trickle just enough to rinse soap, forget it. If you're not tall enough to use a paint sprayer to paint the eaves of a house without using a ladder, or if you are not short enough and tough enough to stand up straight in a 3-foot-tall loft in a temperature of about 100 degrees in order to paint a wall or somewhere in between those two heights, forget it. If you're not humble enough to help the kindest, gentlest, best little cook ever, who happens to be short-handed, or humble enough to sweep the same floor over and over again while others track it up over and over again, forget it. If you're not willing to sit in the dirt for hours painting the bottom of walls, or if you are not willing to haul 5-gallon buckets of water 50 yards in order to mix concrete for a guy who thinks he is good at laying concrete, then forget it. If you are not willing to have every muscle in your body ache, and if you are not willing to laugh and have fun while you make every muscle in your body ache, forget it. If you are not willing to be used as a jungle gym by 6 kids, and if you are not willing to be thoroughly whipped in a soccer game in the dark in a cloud of dust by the same small army of kids, forget it. If you don't want to have your heart broken by the desperate need for attention of a much bigger army of kids, forget it. If you're not willing to hold and comfort a sick child and administer medicine to her, forget it. If you don't want to see your jefe do perro dance for the kids, or if after the work is done, you don't want to have your jefe volunteer you for just one more small project that involves digging 50 yards of water pipe trench through solid granite, forget it. If you are not devious enough to train up a hit squad of ninja picture takers, forget it. If you are not willing to be ambushed by a hit squad of ninja picture takers, forget it. As you can tell, Rob doesn't like his picture taken. On the other hand, if you want to be a part of one of the best mission teams ever put together, you might consider it. If you want to eat way too much of some of the best homemade food ever prepared, and if you want to win over the cook's little granddaughter and finally get that elusive hug, you might consider it. If you want to aggravate a cranky old man, that's Rob, with your camera, you might consider it. If you're willing to be so tired that you can't think straight and so blessed that you don't care, you might consider it. If you want to be a part of preparing one of the prettiest, brightest blue 900-square-foot homes on the Baja Peninsula for one of the most deserving families ever, you might consider it. If you are willing to sit and listen as the mother of this deserving family shares only a small fraction of her horrific past, and if you are willing to let a few tears leak out as a group member prays for this family, you might consider it. Finally, if you are willing to be a small part of God's plan to demonstrate to this mother his great love for her, you should consider it. What a blessing. What a blessing. And that is definitely Rob's heart and this team's heart. And as we've been going through the book of James, we've already studied, don't be doers of the word, not hearers only. And the reason we take this time is because, yes, we come to church and we get equipped and we hear the word. But the most important thing in God's eyes is that we take that word and go do something with it. So that's why we have this time to do this and to hear from each of the missionaries. And I know we've got a lot to go through. So before we go any farther, let's pray, shall we? Father in heaven, we thank you for missionaries. We thank you for hearts of your people, your children, that are willing to go. And God, we know that not all are called to go out into the mission field. But Lord, you've called us all to go and proclaim the gospel. So I thank you for each and every one in this room who supported this trip, who prayed for this trip, because without them, this trip would not have happened. And so, God, even though these are the ones that have gone, I pray that each of us in this room realize we are a part of this trip. So continue to bless us as we remember what you've done this week. Bless now this time, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Micah.
I don't need it that low. Well, hi, I'm Micah, and this is my second year to go on the trip. You need to hold on, because I got a story I'm about to tell on you. So I learned a few things on this trip, and one of them was, not only can our sweet assistant pastor, RJ, lay beautiful concrete, but he can also imitate a dog very well. So I'm pretty sure, and if I tell the story right, if I'm correct, we were playing soccer with the kids, and we have Rob, who's over here ready to go. We have Jared, whose leg is bleeding. Kids on the ground, who I'm kicking in the arm. And somehow have D score 2 goals for us. I don't know how that happened. But RJ's running around with the kids, and I'm pretty sure he hit the ball off of his head, and it went over a fence. So it couldn't go over any fence. It had to go over a fence with a pit bull behind it. So it could have landed anywhere in that yard, but it landed right beside the dog's house. So all the kids are running over there, trying to jump over the fence, want to get the ball, and we're like, no, you can't jump over it. So RJ, he can speak a little bit of Spanish, but he does not know how to say that a dog is mean in Spanish. So RJ, he gets eye level with the kids, he bends down, he goes, puppy, happy, puppy, prior. So I think it was Rick, was it you and I and Dee over there? We like looked at each other and I was like taken back. I was like, and we just started dying laughing. And those kids, I think, looked at him like, and then they just started laughing at him. So it was quite funny, but but in all seriousness, going on this trip, I really didn't know what to expect. Had gone last year, we had such a good time and such a good group that went that you almost wonder, is it going to be the same? Are you going to get along with everybody who goes? Or is everything going to run smoothly? Are we going to laugh? Are we going to have a good time? And I think the first day, very convicted by even having those thoughts of if it was going to be fun or not. This team, just everything was perfect. It went smoothly. I mean, you can see the house was beautiful. And the first night we got there was a Tuesday night, and we met Angela and her family for dinner. And the look she had on her face was just so depressing. And it was very sad, and just like she was ashamed she was there. She was embarrassed. And so the next morning at Devo, we all mentioned how sad her face looked. And it wasn't just me who noticed it, it was the whole team. And so we immediately prayed for her and asked God, by the end of this, by the time we dedicate her house, we want to see a smile on her face. So Sunday, when we dedicated her house, she stood in front of that house, and one thing that really just that she said that stuck with me was she was so blessed by the team and us coming and everybody at Casa del Pastor for doing this for her. But she said, I know that this is my temporary home and my real home is in heaven with Jesus. And so the minute she said that, every soreness, exhaustion, pain, just anything completely went away. And you realized exactly what you were there for. and to feel God's purpose on your heart. And so that was the smile that she, when she walked through the house, that was her face the whole entire time. So it was so amazing to see, you know, that face just come to life and know that it's all because of God's reason she got this. So, okay, Dee, you can come up here.
Good morning. Buenos dias. Oh, say it again. Buenos dias. ¿Cómo están? Oh, qué bueno. For those of you who don't know, I said good morning. How are you? I just have to say, just being up here, I have to say I am, for the first time, it sounds weird, I'm glad that I am back to be home. Just seeing y'all and being here in my church home, I am glad to see y'all because I was really missing it, so. That just kind of overtook me right now, seeing y'all's faces. So I'm just kind of up here to talk about just kind of my experience and the summer of the trip. As emotional as I get, it was awesome. I had a great time, so I'm going to try to keep the sweat from my eyes from falling. I went. This was my second time as well, and last year's trip was absolutely amazing. And I remember the first time it was announced last year, I remember the feeling of, I'm going. And I remember saying that to myself, I'm going. And this year when it happened again, you know, we talked about it and saying, I'm going. And I sat back and thought about it, and I realized not once did I ask, am I going to go? Can I go? I remember God put that on my heart, and it was like, you're going. And just having that feeling the whole time, I know I was meant to be there. I was meant to be on that trip. God wanted me there because he got me there. And already. That salsa just kind of sticks with you, you know? So I'm going to move on because I want to get through this. I'm just so glad I got to go. So, I mean, just being there and that first Tuesday, when we got there Tuesday and waiting for the team to get in. And I just want you all to know, not only was RJ just a fun character, do not travel with Jared Mason if you're not going to feed him. I mean, I tell you, if you saw the shirt, it said Devalicious on it because he earned that name that Tuesday. We flew in that Monday. By Tuesday, he earned that name Monday. He earned that name. Love you, Jared. I didn't think you were going to be here. I mean, God love him, but I mean, this boy, I'm hungry. When are we going to eat? Can we eat? Mike and I are like, Jared, calm down. We're sitting here. We're the two girls here. We haven't eaten as well. Are we going to eat yet? I mean, we just got off this plane, and da-da-da. It's like, Jared, calm down. We're sorry, princess. We will do what we have to do. Finally fed the boy. I mean, going to In-N-Out, fed the boy 3 hamburger patties on his burger. And I'm just like, you couldn't have been that hungry. Oh, he had 2 hamburgers with 3 patties. So I can do that math. That's 6 patties. Boy was hungry. So I'm just warning you, if you're going to go, get some snacks in your bag, in your purse, for our diva, Jared. Just getting there and just crossing, Jared again. We're driving into the border, and we're always so, you know, just don't, you know, cause a scene. You don't want to bring attention to yourself, but we hadn't crossed the border yet. We're driving up on where it says Mexico. So I was like, we're going to take a picture, because Wendy said, let's get a picture. And Jared and Micah are sitting next to me, so I pull out my phone. I guess Jared was scared once he heard, don't draw attention to yourself. He wasn't ready for me to pull out. He's like, Dee, put your phone away. Dee, what are you doing? What are you doing? Dee, what are you doing? And I'm just like, we're not going to get shot because I took a picture of the border. You're fine. So I took the picture and I shut off my phone, but I'll never forget. Just Dee, stop. Dee, what are you doing? Dee, stop. But just being on that trip, getting there that Tuesday, one thing I remember as we're pulling in, we're coming over the hill, and as you drive into San Vicente, that you can see it, like, from the top of the mountain. We drive in at night, and you see the lights. So you're coming in, and as we pulled in, this excitement just took over. And it was like, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. And it wasn't like, I'm here to work. Like, it was like somewhere I'd been before, like when I go on a family vacation or somewhere. And it's like, I've been here before, and I know what to expect. So it was awesome. And as we pulled into the hotel and just, I'm like, I know this thing. Like, all these memories came back, and checking in and seeing Valentina, the woman who runs the hotel, and the fact that she remember, like, she was getting out and she really doesn't speak too much English, so I was able to, she was speaking, and I remember her saying, hi, hi, and I remember she looked, and I guess she forgot that I spoke Spanish, and so she turned to the woman, she was like, I remember her, she came last year, and that automatically just warmed my heart that she remembered me, because she is a spitfire. She's shorter than Micah, but I mean, this woman has a bigger personality. That, I mean, this woman could fill up this whole church with her personality. And so just that familiarity and going to dinner that night and just seeing all the other missionaries, and it was like coming to see good friends. It wasn't seeing hosts or people that were going to be there to help us. It was like coming back and seeing friends, and I will never, ever forget that feeling of that family. And I just went that night, and I just prayed. I was like, God, just make this the best trip. I know, like I said, last year was like the best time I ever had, but I know you can top it. And so, and he did. He complete. I mean, the emotions that I felt after giving this woman this house, how Micah spoke of her smile, I will never forget. We were going, and it was time to give the house over, and we were saying, I want to see her face when she comes in. I want to see her face, because we usually let them go in on their own and give them time, but we were all a little selfish. We're like, I want to see her face. We've been working on this all week. I want to see what's going on. So we were doing it. Finally, we decided, okay, no, nobody's going to be in there. So why don't you guys just kind of stand at the window, you know, just kind of be a fly on the wall in the window and take pictures. So I was like, okay, cool. So it was like, Dee, you go take the picture. So I saw her put the key in the door. And so I ran to their side of the house. So I'm ready. I was like, I'm going to just kind of, you know, sneak a picture and get that one. Well, I'm thinking I can't be seen. The first thing they do when they walk in the house, after you saw that awesome picture of her just covering her mouth, the boys go, hi. And I'm like, you weren't supposed to see me. But I'm like, hey. And another great thing, not only was her smile awesome, but we watched her walk through every room to her children's room and see that. And we knew she was getting to her room. And Mike and I are shaking each other. She's going to her room. She's going to her room. Open the door. Open the door. Open the door. And she opened it. And we just expect, you know, I expected her to walk in, kind of look around and come out after a bit. But she walked in. I saw her take a step. And she turned around and looked at us in the window where we were supposed to be invisible. And she just gave us a thumbs up and a smile. And I mean, her smile warmed my heart, but just getting that thumbs up and a smile, I lost it again. And also, about that soccer game, those two goals were the only two goals of the game that I scored. MVP, right here.
Hola, senor. I didn't learn a whole lot of Spanish while I was down there. I think on this trip, I think the thing that just touched my heart the most was the fact that God completely provided for everything. And for me personally, I just moved out of my mom's house on my own, paying all those bills, plus I'm paying for this trip out of my own pocket. I didn't have time to go do any kind of fundraisers or anything. It's all coming out of my pocket, and I still had enough money to pay for all my bills for this month. So it really blew my mind that God wanted me to go on this trip that bad and put up with Dee and Micah and Rob and my mom. Not only did God provide, like, financially for this trip for me and everybody, but I think, like, providing strength and energy. I mean, at the end of the day, it was head hit the pillow, and I was out. And I was exhausted every day. And you wake up the next morning, you go get some coffee, and you're just hurting everywhere. You can barely make it down the stairs. And And then you get out there to the house, and all of a sudden all that's gone, and you're just working and working and working, and you don't even think to yourself that I'm tired, I'm wore out, I'm sore. None of that happens until lunch. Until lunch. Well, I think one of the most important lessons I learned on this trip was that that God has got everything under control. He has got it. He's got this plan, and it's way better than any plan I can come up with. And you just got to trust Him enough to jump on the wagon, see where He takes you. He took me to Mexico, unfortunately, with some of the people I had to go with, but. But I did. I went. It's, yeah, you had your turn. Thank you for that. But I was truly blessed to be on this trip. And I did enjoy getting to know Rick over here. This man right here has got such a compassionate heart that I never would have guessed he had. And getting to know everybody, KK, Laylee, y'all are great. The rest of y'all.
My name's Laylee, and this is the first time I went on this I went on this mission trip, and it was the best experience ever. Like, I'm a traveler, so I'm like love traveling, and I remember when the announcements came up three times, like each time I was like, oh, I'm thinking about this, and then one day, just like D, I was like, oh, I'm going to Mexico. And like once I decided, it was just like everything fell into place. Like, I don't think I spent any money, like myself, to pay for everything. God provided for everything. So it was really amazing. And I'm not really going to say much, but I had like, it was really awesome to get to know everyone even more on the mission trip and getting to know the girls. And I feel so much closer to everybody. And I came out of my shell even more during this mission trip. And seeing Angela, that was just really, I think, the best part. Like, when she got her house, my favorite part was when she, like, rolled out of the van when they pulled up, and she came out, and she had, like, the biggest smile on her face, and was like, oh my goodness, she's getting her house. And just like everyone said, like, all those, like Micah said, the soreness and all the tiredness he felt, like, went away. It was just, like, all about her and how God's blessed her, and she was just an amazing woman, and yeah, it was great. And I have a Jared story too. I wasn't expecting that because I didn't know him that well, so I wasn't expecting that from him. He got a cut from being the stove in, and I'm just thinking, oh, he's a guy, he's a go clean it up. He started screaming, and like, and my D had to like hold his. Yes. He was screaming like, "Mom, Mom, where's my mom?" And we're like, and I was so surprised. I was like, "What? He's okay." And then my D had to like hold his hand, and she was like, "One." She was like, "Okay, I'm gonna count to three. One," and then like cleaned it, and he was like, "Oh, that didn't hurt." So, yeah. But yeah, we had a great time, and I'm like ready to go back next year to help out. And just yeah.
I'm KK, and this was my second time going. I had something totally planned out what I was going to say, And then I was on my way to church, and God's like, no, you're going to say this. So I was reading through my journal, and this is what I found. So I'm going to read you this really, I don't remember writing this. And it's written like it's addressed to the church. So I was like, okay, I'll read it. RJ's study for the week was giving. He spoke on everything giving. So I started to think about, what am I giving? What do I give? What is my purpose for this trip? And it seemed like everyone else had this thing that they could do. Like Micah could cut hair and RJ could lay cement. Deandra could speak Spanish. So everyone seemed to have a special gift. I started to question what my purpose was. But then on the last day, Lisa, who runs Casa del Pastor, started talking to me about her horses. And she decided to have me go over to her house and see if I could get her extremely, and when I say extremely, I say that that's an understatement. This horse was so stubborn, you couldn't get it to walk. Of course, I went, did my thing. I did some pretty rough training with the horse, but I got the horse to move more than it had in months. It didn't seem much to me. I was just doing what I do. But it wasn't until Lisa just started going on and on and on about how much of a blessing it was for me. And I was thinking, yes, I brought something to this trip. I did it. I had a special gift. Yay. And then I stepped back and I said, oh my goodness, how selfish of me. And what it says here in my journal, God showed me that something so little to me, just working with her horses for an hour, just doing what I love, was a huge blessing for her. God uses what seems like nothing to us to bless others. And just like RJ's study said, to give, give, give. Me giving my time, I was able to bless someone in a way I could never imagine.
I have a Jared story, too. I got your back. I won't let it go. My name is Rick, and this is my first time. And several times throughout the week, people ask me, so how'd it go? And I thought, in a word, there are no words. There are no words to explain what we experience. There's no, you know, I told some people, well, you have a few days, you can sit down, and I can tell you a lot of things that happened because it was a roller coaster ride. I tried, although maybe I didn't apply myself sometimes, to learn a little Spanish. And when I got down there, I was like, you know, okay, I can't remember anything I learned, what little I did learn. And so I'm just going to try to keep my head down. You know, people say gracias, I say tostada donada. I couldn't remember anything. So I thought, well, I'm just going to keep my head. My plan is now is just to keep my head down. Just, you know, just have RJ tell me what he needs done, and I'll just do it. And, well, God had a different plan. And these two masterminds here also had another plan. So I'll explain to you the first night with the kids. And I just, you know, when we headed over there after dinner, and Micah was doing the haircuts, and RJ was helping her, and KK and Laylee were playing with the babies, and the others were doing some other things. I was just sitting there watching. And Christina here, the one on your left, came up to me, and I think she saw her friend Cynthia there up on these washer and dryers where Micah was doing haircuts. And she spoke in Spanish to me, and I didn't understand what she said, but she did this. Well, I knew what that meant, pick her up. She wanted to be next to her friend. So when I play with my nieces and nephews when they were little, I pick them up, and I do these goofy noises, you know. So I pick her up and go, bruh! None of you are impressed right now because you're not four, but she was, and apparently I have a gift. She thought that was funny, so she's like, in Spanish again. I'm like, okay. Well, I went to put her down, and she went and put her legs on the floor. She kept, I'm like, you got to let go. She wouldn't let go. So I'm like, okay. And so I'm like, doing all these, and I'm noticing the girls are doing it too. So I'm just, you know, put it back on the, and it just kept going and going. Eventually, we got out in the courtyard, and I was playing with Cynthia and Christina. And RJ and Wendy mentioned, you know, if you bring a toy for some of the kids, you bring a toy for all of the kids. Well, if you give a ride to some of the kids, you give a ride to all the kids. So I'm playing with these two, and all of a sudden I hear my pant legs getting pulled, and there are six more. So I'm like, you know, picking them up, and they're like getting heavier and heavier, and I'm like, I don't want to throw my back out. Jared's running through the courtyard with the kids on his back and running all around, and I'm trying to keep up, and suddenly Jared comes up with, like, he's got two kids on this leg, one on his back, and he's like, boom, boom. And I'm all like running out of breath, like, Jared comes up, he's like, I'm like, why are you out of breath? You're half my age. And he's like, these kids are relentless. And off went Jared. Well, Christina, by then, she waited long enough for her ride. So she jumps into my arm, and I catch her just nick of time. And she accidentally landed kind of horizontal like this in my arms and just held out her hands. I'm like, oh, weight is distributed evenly. I can do this now. And I just kind of swung them around. And the other six, seven, eight kids, and I think they were multiplying after that. They were like, eh? So now they wanted airplane rides. So, you know, I sit back and I thought, well, you know, just go into this trip. I mean, that was just a fatherly thing to do. These girls don't have any dads. They don't have any fathers. And to echo our worship leaders, calling fathering the fatherless, it just really touched my heart. And it just, you know, we played the soccer game with the kids, and we did all these things. We worked hard. I mean, we worked hard. You heard some of the letters and some of the things that other people said. But the one thing that really got to me, and just can't be prepared for these kind of things, is we went, I forget what the place was called. Yes. And, you know, RJ and Wendy, they didn't tell me exactly what we're going to do, you know, other than, hey, we're going to go feed kids. And they just kind of threw me and Jared right in the middle of it. And we're serving the kids, and these kids' eyes are just meeting mine, and they're just breaking my heart. Yeah. And so it was time to go clean out the buckets, and I haven't told the team this. And Jared might have seen it because he was with me, but I went to go clean out the buckets in this little spigot, and this little boy, my eyes were just, they were just coming down. My tears were just coming down. And I was trying to wash out this bucket, and I had my back towards Jared. I didn't want him to see me right away, and I was just really hurting for these kids. And this little boy out of nowhere, his little hand just kind of tapped me real light. And I look up, and he just kind of nods. And he didn't say anything. He didn't speak Spanish or anything. He just tried to console me. And it was really, really hard to just to look back on and think, man, I felt ashamed of all the things that I've kind of, all my little problems and my little things of the world. And these kids are just, they don't even know where their next meal is coming from. And this little boy's like, you know, nods his head, taps me. He did it twice. And I'm like, it's just all he knows. And it was just a really interesting point of view to just like, these kids just don't have dads, or maybe they do, and the dads are either unable or unwilling to provide for these kids. And it was just a blessing to be able to go here. And, you know, I looked in the Bible, and just the Bible just says go. It doesn't say on your mark, get set, get ready, do this, do that, do this, do that, do that. It just says go. And I went, and it was a blessing. I was scrolling through the pictures, and I just sitting on the bed a few days later, and I'm like, Lord, I just don't want to forget these kids. And the pictures of them, like, well, that'll make it easier, but I don't want to forget what we did either. And I didn't realize it that night, but when I was going through the pictures to help me remember what we did, I come across these two again. And on Christina's little shirt, it's got a little airplane on it. And just kind of remind me of our airplane ride. So a lot of people think that, like, well, maybe I'm not equipped, or what can I do? If you can, like someone was saying, carry a couple buckets of water, shovel some dirt, push a roller, paint roller, kick a ball, play airplane, then you're equipped. It was a blessing, and I'm glad I went.
I'm going to read a message from Stephanie. You all may remember her. She was we were blessed to have her here. She's since moved back to California. She says, "Hi, Calvary Brentwood friends. I've missed you and was so blessed to share time with some of you last week. Wendy asked me to share a few thoughts about my experience, so here goes. I, for too many years, have had the desire to take a mission trip to Mexico, and for many reasons have never gone. Last Sunday morning, as I stood in church, listening to a message in Spanish, I was instantly transported back in time to a child standing in a Spanish Baptist church with my grandmother. And when Pastor Mark led us in worship and we sang in Spanish, 'How Great Thou Art,' I remembered my grandmother playing hymns on her piano and singing in Spanish. As I stood, I thought, who gives us the desires of our heart? And who knew that I would be standing in Mexico with a mission team from Calvary Chapel Brentwood? Wow. How great thou art. God's perfect timing. I reflected on my own heritage. The mission trip for me, because I come from Mexican, Spanish, and Indian heritage, was eye-opening and revealing to me that only by his grace I am where I am. My great-grandfather, over 100 years ago, got on a train with three little girls, one being my 4-year-old grandmother, and one an infant baby. His wife had died from complications after childbirth, and they came to Los Angeles. That life change, that opportunity seized, changed his lineage. When I saw these moms and children, I thought, we're helping them, giving them opportunity. The basic provision of a home will change these children and their children and their children. Casa del Pastor promoting education and a safe environment for these moms and kids is breaking a cycle and providing opportunity for them. Will I go again? Absolutely. I don't know if Calvary Chapel San Juan Capistrano has a Mexico mission team, but I can tell you I'm going to find out. And if they don't, they will." So that's Stephanie. So as for myself, this was my third trip. And first, I'm just going to read, because I'm like shaken and I may start crying. "I would like to thank all of you for engaging your faith, either in giving of your time, participating in the fundraisers, for your dedicated prayer before and while we were there, or for contributing financially to make this trip possible. You were equally part of this team, and I know that all of us thank you for everything you did behind the scenes. I just want to tell you a little bit about Casa del Pastor. Casa del Pastor, in case you don't know, started over 20 years ago by two women from Calvary Chapels, Lisa Height and Jeannie, I can't remember her last name. Lisa is from Calvary Chapel, Moreno Valley, which I think is where Jim Hernandez is from, so there's our link. Essentially, this is a shelter or a safe house for women and children who have been abused. The women here are from the local community and all over Mexico. They are given room, clothing, and food. You think those are well, everybody should have those. These women don't. They come with nothing. They get a job, and their children are placed in the daycare, either at the CASA or enrolled in school and given uniforms. They learn about Jesus Christ, see the example of the Christian life lived through the missionary women that are there, and are required to attend church and several women's devotionals and ministries. And they all, I don't know if I should say they all, but they do come to know the Lord and accept him as their Savior. They pay rent, so it's not a free ride. And if they choose, they save money for a piece of land, which is about this big and costs about $5,000. They make about $11 a day picking crops. Once they purchase the land, several churches in the country go and start building a home for them for free. I've heard that Angela is a very strong worker. In her 4.5 years at Casa del Pastor, not only did she put the down payment on her land, but the day she moved in, she's completely debt-free. She has paid off her land and now doesn't have to rely on, you know, the only debt that she has will be her electric bill and her water bill. I have a picture of a rose. The rose that I have pictured is the best picture I've ever taken on my trips to Mexico, and it describes these women. It describes myself. Angela, like all the women, have horrendous stories of abuse, stories they are ashamed of. And even Angela, when she was talking to us about her story, held so much back. And it just took her a long time to get to started because she still carries so much guilt and so much shame about her past. These things that she's done were decisions that she made, even at a ridiculously early age, just for survival. Angela did not go to Casa del Pastor, although, you know, encouraged by a couple other women that were living there for about 2 years because she did not feel worthy, and she felt that the women there would not accept her due to her past. The flowers in Mexico, especially these roses, are beautiful. Despite their outer petals being scorched by the heat and the sun and the relentless wind which carries gritty sand, damaging and scarring those outer petals, there's inside a flower, a beautiful flower that can't help but bloom. Like a rose in the desert, Angela was hardened and scarred by the relentlessness of her abuser and her life and the world, by her decisions to simply survive. At Casa del Pastor, she was given the knowledge of her Lord and Savior and opportunities for hope, and the love of Christ inside of her can't help but bloom and come out. What touched me the most from this trip, giving the home to Angela was incredible, as was the home last year. It was great to hear her quote Revelations 3:20, which we had painted right inside the door, and to hear her say, "Mi casa es su casa," which is my home is your home. And then I learned that she invited two families over for dinner that night. No electric, no water. She had two families over for dinner. But for me, one of the things I got to do with Micah's cutting hair, and I got to paint fingernails. One mom came up, she saw me painting nails, and all she wanted was the Vaseline, which was the lotion. She sat down with me. She had incredibly rough hands from picking the tomatoes are in season right now, nubs for fingernails. And she only wanted the Vaseline. Her hands were as rough as the stucco walls that we had painted. And just like those walls, how they absorbed and sucked in the primer, her hands just sucked in that lotion. So I just kept slathering it on and massaging her hands. And God said, "Pray over these hands." So I massaged and prayed and prayed. The next time I got to paint nails, I was working with Laylee. And Laylee was painting blue, the same blue that we painted on Angela's home on one lady's hands. And we could hear this conversation going on. And I can understand more this year than I had last year. And the one was talking about Angela, Casa de Angela. So I'm like, oh, she's telling her about her house and how her fingernails look like her house. And then the two of them, I could hear these words, cocina, the kitchen, and her cuarta, the bedroom, and they both went into this place while they were talking, and you could tell they were talking about their own homes, their hope for their own homes and how they wanted their homes decorated. And I loved listening to that because I knew there was hope even among them. Those women still live at the casa, but they were there. I want this in my kitchen. I want this in my bedroom. And it was great. The other thing that made me glad, Laylee told me, she looked at me and she says, I think one of them just said, I feel like a queen. Oh, how wonderful it was. Just simply rub lotion on their hands and massage that in and paint their nails and sit across from them and let them talk. I feel like a queen. So my encouragement to you is if the Lord is pulling your heart to come into the mission field, don't hesitate. Like Rick said, go. You've heard several of us speak to how it changes our lives and how you walk away being the one who is more greatly blessed. You've heard Jared talk about how God not only provides, but rewards. Next time, no matter the obstacle, no matter where we go, put those concerns before the Lord and follow after him. Come on with us and engage your faith.
They got me batting cleanup. So let's see. How much time do I have? Let's close in prayer. A lot of the things that I was going to talk about have been covered, so I won't cover them again. But I want to tell you, thank you. She said exactly what I was going to say at the beginning about thanking you for praying for us, for supporting our fundraisers, and just all kinds of things, making things, buying things, all that. Unbelievable. Going through the border, I called Cindy. I said, send a message out to pray for us, because I was nervous. I really didn't even look into this stuff of what we can bring, what we can't bring. All we know is don't pack your vehicle higher than the windows. And so we had a minivan, and we had a space about that big square. And so we have our luggage in there. But we did a lot of shopping, and so we had a lot of stuff. So we're trying to hide that stuff because essentially we're smuggling. And but I found out, I found out that if you can bring stuff over there, just not more than 50 of one thing. So we didn't do that. We had 6 curtains or 8 curtains, so we did well. But it was nerve-wracking because they'll pull you over, and when they pull you over and search, they do whatever they want. And they have automatic machine guns or whatever strapped on them. It's pretty intimidating. So it's like, don't make eye contact. Look white. Oler, senior, you know. So we drive through, and Wendy makes it through. And then we're going through, and the guy's looking at me, and I just went like that, and I'm just not trying not to look. But also, he's the guy that says, pull over. I saw him look at me, and he just walked like that. And that was the guy behind me, and I'm like, we got tools, we got all this stuff. So anyway, that was nerve-wracking, but God provided. You got to understand something. This is great what we're doing. This particular house I was a part of on my first, was my fourth time. The first time we went was the foundation of this very house, and Mark Crawley and Jim Hernandez and myself went down there, and we laid up the walls, all the interior and exterior walls. And that was the first trip. The second trip, the next year, we went, we put the roof on it. So between the walls and the roof, that was a year. And then the last time we went, we decorated our first house while we looked over at Angela's house. And so there's a lot of process that goes on, and I just happened to be fortunate enough to be able to be in a couple of these processes. But the truth is, just like you guys having a part in us going over there for this trip, And for us being so blessed to be a part of what we are a part of, there's somebody who lays a foundation. There's somebody who comes and builds up the walls. There's somebody who comes and puts the roof on. And then we just got to go and paint and clean up and decorate and do some stuff around in the yard. And we are the beneficiaries of handing those keys over and seeing that face. That woman, that woman was just so stoic, her face. She looked aggravated. And that first day. And it's like, I wonder if that, you know, face is going to change. And you saw all those pictures of her. She's got a smirk on her face. She always had like a smile, but she didn't look mad. And it's funny that this is the dedication. And God had given me a verse. So that's why I brought my Bible. But I wasn't prepared to do this. I asked Wendy, I said, Wendy, what's my responsibility? I don't even remember. We were so busy last time. And she goes, oh, Pastor Rob just prayed over the house. And Pastor Scooter, or Mark, the other guy, he's the one that does all the talking. So that's good. I can do that. And so I get up there, and Pastor Mark says, you got a word? And I said, yeah, I'll read that. And he goes, no, you got it. You do the whole thing. I said, do the what? And so I was not prepared. But God gave me this verse. I think I was in church. It's 1 John 3:17-18. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and truth. So that's what we do. That's what you guys took part of, is we were in, by deed, we came and did this. Now, when you look at this house, that's pretty much the way it looks when we leave. This was there. There's no landscaping. It's real plain. And just to let you know that if you guys have kids, you know how it is when you give your kids everything, they don't take care of it, you know, kind of wear it out and throw it away. Well, these houses are given to them basically like it's $5,000 for the house. They put $1,000 down. They can pay for the other $4,000 for as long as it takes, as long as they make the payments. But the rest of the house is theirs. This particular one is paid for. But you think that they wouldn't appreciate this. Is there another picture? This is the house that we did last time. We left it just like that one, bare, nothing there. All these are peach trees. Everything there that woman planted in this 1 year, everything is something that she can live off of. She's got this curtain right here stops the wind from blowing dust on her. Vegetable plants so they can grow. Over here, she's got her water. She collects the water from her dishes and hand washing and all that, and that's what she irrigates. You can't see it, but every tree, this lady has a tube that she put down and did her irrigation system that comes out of recycled water. Everything there, that is lush. That front, that whole yard has been swept. She sweeps it every day. Have you ever swept dirt? That's what they do. They don't grow grass there, but they sweep the dirt. That is pride in home ownership. We're not giving people that are undeserving something to just say, yeah, give it to me, Americans, and then just go off. These people, they love us. They love the Lord. They love us when we go over there and do this. And then whatever we give them, even if it's not up to our standards, they take it and they build upon it. And, you know, when Angela, to tell you the truth, Angela's, some of the things that she said, Angela, I'm sorry, some of the things that she did obviously didn't surprise me, but one thing she did surprise me. When we were in church, first of all, let me go back. When we were in church, Pastor Mark had said, you know what? It's all about God. It's all about Jesus. He said, I read that on a wall of a church instead of a cross. It said, it's all about God. It's all about Jesus. And so we dedicate this house, and I'm not ready for this. You know, I'll pray over the house, but I don't know what else to say. But God knew what to say. And so he drew that out of me because it's all about God. It's all about Jesus. Are you cutting me off?
Nope.
Okay. When we stood at the door and she said that, she goes, this house is nice. We thank you very much for everything that you've done, but I can't wait to see my heavenly home. I was like, and then I thought to myself, you know what? It's all about God. It's all about Jesus. Pastor, can I read a devotion? Would y'all mind if I read a devotion? Okay, so just to clarify, I taught 6 devotions in the morning. It was all about giving, okay? It was all about, you know, just giving yourself, who not to give yourself to, what God does with people who are giving. And it's not just financial, it's everything. Giving your heart, it's giving your body, and for his service. And so that's really what I taught about. But when I got back, I think it was Friday, I read this devotion, and I think this is Alistair Begg wrote this. And the story that I'm going to read, because it's out of 1 Kings 19:8. It's when Elijah called 450 prophets to call on their God. And he says, listen, we're going to put a sacrifice down on this altar. And you who sacrifice to Baal, you call on your God, and I'm going to call on my God. And we're going to see who brings down fire. So anyway, y'all know the story. They called and called and called, and their God did nothing. Elijah took water, and he poured it all over his stuff, and it's like, how are you going to get fire coming out of that? But he called on his God, and God toasted that sacrifice. And then he brought rain, and then word got out, and he was being pursued by, I think, Jezebel or something. And so he was running, and he's sleeping out in the wilderness, and he gets a message for some food and some water from God. And so that's the story here, because when you read this, you're going, what is this all about? So he's running from somebody, and he gets this this water and this food from God. And here's the verse. It's 1 Kings 19:8. And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. And the devotion that Alistair Begg wrote was, all the strength supplied to us by our gracious God is meant for service, not for indulgence or pride. When the prophet Elijah found the cake baked on coals in the jar of water placed at his head as he lay under the juniper tree, he was not being given a special treat that he could lie back and enjoy. He was being sustained so he could go and fulfill his responsibilities the next 40 days and 40 nights. And when the master invited the disciples to come and eat with him, after the meal was over, he said to Peter, feed my sheep. And then he added, follow me. It is the same for us. We eat the bread of heaven so we can expend our strength in the master's service. We come to the table and eat of the lamb in a spirit of readiness so that we may leave as soon as we are satisfied of our hunger. Some Christians are living on Christ, but are not so anxious to live for Christ. Earth should be the preparation for heaven, and heaven is the place where saints feast most and work most. They sit down at the table of our Lord, and they serve him day and night in his temple. They eat of the heavenly food and offer perfect service. Believer, in the strength you daily gain from Christ, work for him. some of us have a lot to learn to concerning the design of our Lord in giving us his grace. We are not to hide the precious grains of truth without giving that truth an opportunity to grow. We must sow it and water it. Why does the Lord send rain upon the thirsty earth and give the sunshine? It's not in order that the sun and the rain may help the fruits yield the earth. Fruits of the earth yield food for us. Even so, the Lord feeds and refreshes our soul so we may use our renewed strength in the promotion of his glory. God gives us things so that we can turn around and bless other people. He gives us strength. Sometimes I think that we take the things that God has given us and it's for our enjoyment, and it's not for our enjoyment. Certainly when you hear all the missionaries come up and tell of their experience, we enjoyed it. We enjoyed everything about going over there. Yet, at the end of the night, your nose was crusty with dust. Your throat was sore, and you were tired. But when you think about the impact that we had, not only on Angela and her family, but on the whole community, they can't wait for us to go back. And this I will tell you, after the fourth time that I've gone, I don't see missionaries. I see family when I go there. When I embrace these people, they hold me different than the first time I shook their hands. And so I look forward to the time that we go back. There was a picture of a house with no roof. That's our next house that if we hear from the Lord and he says, yes, we have the finances, we can go and do this. That's the house that we're going to be working on. So please be in prayer for, you know, your involvement on that, and see what God's going to do. Thank you. Sorry.
Let's close with a prayer. No, I'm not going to sing. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for the time that you give to us to come and hear all that you did through these missionaries. And God, I pray that the impact that you've had upon them would trickle into our lives as well. Lord, that we would serve you all the days of our lives, giving to others the things that you've given to us. Bless us as we go from this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.